and praise unto the Lord.
Be glory and praise unto the Lord. Be honor forevermore. I exalt your majesty
unto the Lord.
Unto the Lord.
Quickly, I'm trying to repent. Preach fairly short messages. So help me God. So I make the sign of the cross. Hallelujah. Well, thank God for tonight. I think the testimony speaks to my message tonight. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Are you happy to be in church? Are you ready to receive from God? You know, you need to find out, or you'll find out as you grow in your faith, that the problem has never been God. It's always been on our side. But God is always releasing things. God is always blessing us. God is always giving. And in fact, has given everything. The problem is the receiving end. You know, so I put on my radio on Sunday as I came. Was it Sunday? Or Saturday morning as I came to church. Most of the time I'm listening to a message. So I put it on. And occasionally I listen to the radio itself. But most times it's a message. So I put on a message. I was listening. Then I said, I wanted to hear some stuff on the radio. And then I switched the source to the radio. And lo and behold, there was no sound. You know, zero sound. And I said to myself, what's wrong with that station? You know, it's a prominent station. And I said, what's wrong with this station? How can they not be broadcasting this morning? I think that was Monday morning when we had a public holiday and I was coming for the minister's meeting. And I said, what's wrong with this station? How can they not be broadcasting at this time, which is between 8:30 and 9 a.m.? I said, something is really wrong with this station. And in annoyance, I switched the source and I put it back to my message, and I continue to listen to my message. And then on Tuesday, I was driving again, and I said, let me listen to this on the radio. And then I switched again, and it was another channel. This was Tuesday morning, and I said, let me listen to the news at 7 a.m., but it was another radio station. And I switched it, and lo and behold, it was not broadcasting. So I said, it can't be happening to all of them. And then I checked and I turned, and my volume was at zero. So apparently, when I switched the source, I didn't understand what it was, but in switching the source on radio, the volume went to zero automatically. But when I was listening to what I was listening on my, you know, on my Bluetooth, it had volume. So I then thought myself, oh my God. So what I missed yesterday was not their fault. It was my fault. So many of us think that many things are God's fault. He's not broadcasting. I mean, broadcasting is you are throwing it out there. Many of us are thinking God is not broadcasting, but we are not receiving. So I wasn't receiving because I was on zero volume. Please look at your neighbor and say, turn up the volume. Hallelujah. So the psalmist put that this way. He said, once has he spoken, twice have I heard. So what I've said to you is in the Bible. The psalmist said, he spoke once, I heard it twice. That what? Power belongs to the Lord. So he said, when God spoke once, I heard twice. I turned up the volume. And I heard it twice. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read from verse 15. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Circumspectly means what? Wisely. See them that you walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. Okay, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, can I hear you say therefore? So again, you have to note it. We said every time you see the word therefore, see what it is. Therefore, and every time you see the word therefore, it means stop for a minute and look at what was just said. So he said to us that see that you walk circumspectly, cautiously, wisely, because the days are evil. He said, therefore, this is now wisdom. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's number one instruction. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So every believer must make the effort to understand what the will of God is. Otherwise, you are living foolishly. If you are never concerned, if you are never asking a question, what's the will of God for my life? First, the broader agenda, and then asking God, what's the will of God concerning X matter, concerning Y matter, what does God really have in mind? If you are never asking that question, you are living foolishly. Are you with me? If it's ever painful, just say, ouch. Okay? If it's enjoyable, you say, praise the Lord. Amen. Preach it, preacher. Hallelujah. But if it's painful, ouch. Or that's the Tush one. The Yoruba one is yepa. Hallelujah. It says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And, can I hear you say and? My English teacher said that was a conjunction. And that means that it joins two things. So in this case, it's joining two instructions. It means that this is a second instruction that goes in line with what I need to do because the days are evil. The first instruction was what? Understand what the will of the Lord is. Can I hear you say understand what the will of the Lord is? The second instruction for my survival, because it says I need to redeem the time because the days are evil. The second instruction for my survival, it says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which, okay, if you are a drunkard, that's, otherwise, that ouch was too quick, and it was too soon. The sentence has not even been put out. It says, but I know he's not a drunkard, so it's too early. It says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. One says, in which is ruin. It will bring you to ruin. Okay? So in which is dissipation, it says, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So two primary instructions. One, understand what the will of the Lord is. Two, don't be drunk with wine, but be drunk. Be drunk with what? The Holy Ghost. Be drunk with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Maybe I need to read my second main text before I get carried away. Galatians chapter 3. So actually tonight, I'm sharing with you a thought that dropped in my heart last month as I meditated on that scripture in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. And it dropped in my mind that when last were you drunk? Of course, we know that the drunkenness we're talking about is not being drunk with wine, but being drunk with the Spirit. When last were you drunk? I was just meditating on that, going about my daily business, and I felt it drop on my heart, when last were you drunk? And that's what we're exploring. There are many things that most Christians, I would assume, do not even know anything about what we're talking about. They don't know anything about walking in the Spirit. They don't know anything about living in the Spirit. They don't know anything about many of those things. But for those who might know it, whether online or you are here, for those who might know about it, we also sometimes get kind of used to the things. And sometimes we even feel like, I need to go past this. You know, I need to move past this. So people feel sometimes like, let's move on. You know, I need to not get drunk in the Holy Ghost anymore and be laughing in the Spirit. I need to not fall down under the anointing. I need to not, you understand? Let's just carry on. And I felt God was saying, when last were you drunk? Because this is not about a meeting, really. This is about a lifestyle. This is about how we live. And when last were you absolutely intoxicated in the Spirit? That you could say, I am living beyond myself. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. I'm actually living in the Spirit. You remember Romans chapter 8? It says, if you are in the Spirit, then you should walk in the Spirit. So it's like, okay, this is the natural habitat of the new creation is in the Spirit. Just the same way, the natural habitat of the fish is in the water. So no matter how big and powerful a fish is, be it a whale, be it a shark, when you get it out of the water, it becomes very malfunctional, it becomes weak, it becomes tired, and eventually it's going to die. It needs to be in the water. The same way, the Bible says that our own lives are in the Spirit. We function when we are in the Spirit, when we are intoxicated in the Spirit or by the Spirit, and we have our dwelling by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It's a school of miracles, and we'll look at Galatians chapter 3. It says from verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Emphasis now in verse 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? I read that again. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Meaning that, hey, your journey as a believer started in the Spirit. Your progress will have to be in the Spirit. There's nowhere, nothing you are going to become. Oh, I want to be free of this sinful habit. It's not going to happen except you just simply live in the Spirit. That's what it says also in Romans chapter 6, I believe it is, when it says that if you by the Spirit mortify or you kill the deeds of the flesh. No, it's Romans chapter 8. He said, if you by the Spirit kill the deeds of the flesh. So how do I mortify or kill the deeds of the flesh? Is by the Spirit. I don't do it by resolutions. I don't do it by positive thinking. I don't do it by the power of positive speaking. I don't do it by any of those things. I do it by the Spirit. Can I hear you say by the Spirit? So my progress as a believer in every ramification is by the Spirit. Okay, I read on verse 4. It says, have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. Therefore, again, emphasis verse 5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So remember now in context, that the whole context is that have you begun in the Spirit and you think you will be perfected in the flesh? And then he's telling you that he that works, your own beginning, which is your salvation, is by the Spirit, and in the Spirit, you cannot become perfected. The word perfected means matured in the flesh. And then he says the working of miracles, he that works miracles and performs wonders, that supplies the Spirit and works miracles among you, also is by that same function. That's the context. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The context is that whoever does any of that is simply because they live or they function by the Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, there's something they call DUI. So the police will arrest somebody, and then they arrest him, and they say, it's DUI. Which means he's driving under the influence. They arrest him on the road, he's driving, and then you hear the siren. Bah, 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 if you watch movies before. And then the siren, and then they tell him to park, and then he parks. And why? Because they've seen that maybe he's driving, and he's a bit swervy on the road, and they watch him, they follow him for a while, they realize something is wrong here. Then they tell him to park, and then he parks. And then they say, sir, please come out. And the man comes out, they say, have you been drinking, sir? He says, no. They say, okay, can you walk this straight line? He say, yes. Then he does that a little bit. Then he says, sorry, sir, I need to take you in, blah, blah, blah. And then they arrest him. And they say, we arrested him for DUI. He was driving under the influence. So he was under the influence of alcohol. The Bible compares in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 how we need to function. Meaning that guy got so intoxicated by alcohol that alcohol alters his, his awareness level, which is primarily what it does. You know, so we were taught then in medical school that alcohol will affect what you call the inhibition center in the brain. And the inhibition center means that the reason why I'm not going to just get up, get to this place, and sit on the floor. Not anything. No. I just walk in, you know, in the evening. I sit on the floor, and I start rolling on the floor. There's nothing. I'm not doing any. I mean, there's no praise or anything. I'm just rolling on the floor. The reason why nobody's going to just walk in and go to here and start weeing here is because there's an inhibition. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the alcohol alters all of that kind of level of awareness, self-awareness, or what it deems all of that. Back in the day, in one of the hospitals I worked in, I got in one day and they were discussing. I said, What happened? And they said one of the doctors got drunk the day before. And then he came in the middle of the ward. And he stood on the table and started wee-weeing. It was, delivering under the influence. Are you with me? And while alcoholics try their best, so they have things like Alcoholics Anonymous and all that abroad, so you try, you join a group of alcoholics who say, we want to stop drinking. And then they talk, you know, about the fact that, look, I've been sober for 3 months. I've been sober for 5 months. I've been sober for 2 years. The Bible says we shouldn't try to get sober. They should try to get sober. Why? Because it says your intoxication with alcohol has dissipation. That is, it brings you to ruin. He said, even though it's being compared, and it's only being compared because this one won't bring you to ruin, rather it will bring you to the supply of the Spirit and miracles. Like we saw in Galatians chapter 3. Are you with me? So in this one, rather the Bible instructs us as an opposite. So the only thing that is uniform here is that it compares and it says the effect of the Holy Ghost upon you is going to be like an intoxication. The kind of intoxication that comes by alcohol. You start functioning under the influence of the Holy Ghost. So that's what it means to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Is that you come under the influence of the Holy Ghost. However, you are not to try to get out from under that influence. That's why in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18 that we read, it is said that what actually the text says is not be drunk with the Holy Ghost as we read it in English. It actually says something slightly different in the original Greek. It says be being drunk. B-B-I-N-G drunk. Be being drunk, which means be in a constant state of being drunk with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Why should I be in a constant state of being drunk with the Holy Ghost? Because the working, the supply of the Spirit and the working of miracles happens that way. Amen. 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 And like I was saying earlier, you know, as they said, one of the key things you'll get, what you'll see with an alcoholic, and some people I knew were out together. And most times I travel, I sit with people, we drink. And then they ask me and I said, no, I don't drink alcohol. Say, oh, what are you taking? I said, bring me orange juice. You know, or Coca-Cola. And they go, you don't drink? I said, no, I don't drink. Say, so you're a teetotaler? I said, absolutely, not one drop. And then one day somebody asked me and said, when you sit with us, and we are drinking like this, what do you see? I said, it's very interesting. I said, because I watch you, you begin to change. Before my very eyes, you begin to change. Your personality, you know, you find somebody who was very reserved, beginning to talk more, and be interjecting. He's more boisterous, he's more active. I said, it's very interesting to watch the transformation with every cup. And then they begin to say a lot of things. I said, oh, yes, you know, that's why they say that never drink with somebody who doesn't drink. Is it because you will tell all your secrets and you will know none of his? Because he's not going to say anything. He's just listening to all your own secrets. Okay? So, three primary things happen. Your sense of awareness is altered. Your speech is altered. Your actions are altered because they all come under the influence of that alcohol. Are you with me? So Proverbs 31, you know, about verse 4 or so, talks about the fact that you should give alcohol to the person who has sorrows and let him drown in sorrows. What's he saying? The sorrows are not going away. The troubles are not going away. He's just saying alter his sense of awareness so that he can't tell. Are you with me? When you're drunk with the Holy Ghost, you lose awareness of the issues that have been troubling you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Go to Romans chapter 8. So something begins to happen to you. Something begins to happen to you. You are not thinking like everybody is. So you are not worried like everybody is. You know, you are just there. I mean, the Isaiah was talking about that in his own way when he said that in Isaiah 26 and verse 3, he said, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Romans 8 makes it clear to us that what it means to walk in the Spirit is to have your mind fixed on him. Are you with me? What it means to walk in the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5 totally describes all of what I'm saying, but what it means to walk in the Spirit is simply having your mind filled with the things of God at all times. So there's an altered state of mind. Are you still there? From verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5 is my emphasis. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, according to, can I hear you say according to? According to means that dictated to by the Spirit. Okay, dictated to or influenced or under the influence of the Spirit. He said but those who live according to the Spirit, they are what? They focus their minds or set their minds or fix their minds on the things of the Spirit. And that's where the next verse that is more popular comes from. He said, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Can I hear you say life and peace? So when I'm constantly being filled with the Holy Ghost, what do I enjoy? Life and peace. Hallelujah. Life and peace. Things are not really bothering me, and people are wondering what's wrong with you. I remember many years ago, and I was trying to get admission into the university, and we were wondering whether I'll be taking blah, blah, blah. And one day, you know, I'll just go my way. And one day my father said to me, what's wrong with you? You don't even look worried or concerned. You don't care. You have no ambition. I said, no. It's simply because I passed the care to somebody else who can do better at it than me. Hallelujah. That's walking in the Spirit. You have an altered sense. You are not being touched by everything around you. Hallelujah. And that's also when you begin to see and know things. John 16, the Bible talks about that when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, Jesus was teaching. He said he will guide you into all truth and even show you things that are yet to come. I'm sure you have all experienced it, that when you are in the Spirit, you seem to just know certain things. You know, things happen, you say, and I thought so. And that occurred to me. And that dropped on my mind yesterday. You know, and you find that there are times when it just looks like you're in a bubble of sorts. I didn't have the words for this, but it seemed like when, what's his name now? Samson. When finally he told his secret to Delilah and they cut his hair. And he got up. The Bible says he got up as before. And when Delilah shouted, "The Philistines are upon you," and he got up as before, and he tried to pull it apart, and he did not know. You know, all of a sudden, something had changed. And many of us can tell those times when we are not being drunk with the Spirit, and we know that something has changed. There was a way I used to just feel. There was a way. I don't have the right words to put this to you, but I hope you're getting what I'm talking about. That you knew that, something is missing. And then you start telling yourself, I think I need some time. I need to fast. I think I need a retreat. What are you trying to say? I'm not drunk in the Spirit. I used to know that I was intoxicated. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Maybe you need to see that scripture and understand what I'm talking about. Galatians chapter 5. Are you getting anything tonight? So I came to ask you that question. When last were you drunk? Nobody should take a soundbite and say they are teaching drunkenness in that church. Are you with me? Galatians 5:25. Look at it in the Amplified. Galatians 5:25, it says, "If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward, walking in line, our conduct controlled." Can I hear you say controlled? It says, our conduct controlled by the Holy Ghost. So you can tell when it's like you are under control, under the control of the Holy Ghost. So I said three things. When you're intoxicated, it shows in your mental state. When you're intoxicated, it shows in your words. Are you with me? It shows in your words. So you sit there. And like I said, they said, no, don't drink with a person who doesn't drink, because you will say everything, he won't say anything. Okay? Why? Because your words will belie you. You find yourself saying and speaking and speaking and speaking. When you are intoxicated by the Holy Ghost, you will speak. Are you with me? You will speak. In fact, if we look again in Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5. So I'm talking about basically how you know if you're intoxicated. What's your mental state like? If you are drunk with the Spirit. So when last were you drunk? What has been your mental state? Are you touchy? Are you worried? Overly worried? Are you anxious all of the time? Everything you are thinking, hey, well, how would this be? Hey, how would that be? You need a drink. Are you with me? And I'm sure you can cast your mind back to when you faced big issues and you were not perturbed. How many people know what I'm talking about? That you faced big issues before and it didn't move you. It didn't bother you. You couldn't be bothered. It was no big deal. Why? Because you were functioning under the influence of somebody bigger than you. Hallelujah. Have you found Ephesians 5:19 or 18? It says, from 18, it says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Then verse 19 says, "What? Speaking." Can I hear you say speaking? So when you're drunk, you speak. And when you're drunk, what comes out of your mouth tells us whether you are drunk or not. That is with the Holy Ghost. It says, when you are drunk, what comes out is that you are speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Not complaining, oh boy, things are really hard. Oh boy, I don't even know how we survive. In fact, tithe self, we have to stop. Because things are just very hard. We don't even know where this country is going again. Then we know that you need a drink. Are you with me? It says you will be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. I don't have the time to start explaining all of those things. And spiritual songs. But you know that you will be speaking these kinds of things. Hallelujah. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always. Can I hear you say giving thanks always? For all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it was one of those days that I was drunk. And we're walking, coming back from class, under level, coming back from class. And I was just drunk. And I was walking, and my very good friend was beside me. I was rather oblivious of his presence. That's big grammar. It just means that I was rather unaware and unconscious of his presence. I couldn't be bothered by his presence. We had spoken a little bit as we walked, but I was drunk. And I became drunker. And as I was drunk, I began to sing. I began to praise God. He was just walking quietly beside me, and I was just singing. I was just singing and singing and singing and singing and singing. One of the things that tells me, and I know, when I'm drunk, most times I wake up singing. I wake up and there's a song. And I just start off my prayer with that. Hallelujah. So this day I was singing, and I was singing, and my friend was walking beside me. I was singing. And after a while, I began to sing, God will make a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He walks in a way. I mean, I was singing like there was a choir master with me. I was just singing. I was lost. And then after I still sang that a little bit, I felt like, you know, when the choir director says, change the song. So I changed the song, and he says, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. That's the way God planned it. It's going to be all right. So it was my birthday later that year, and my friend began to testify. And he said, you know, do you remember the day we were walking together? And he was singing and all of that. He said, all of a sudden, I felt God was speaking to me. He said, and you began to sing the song, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He said, I knew God was talking to me. He said, and then after that, and he's sweet, and he said, it's going to be okay. He said, and what had happened was that he had failed an exam, which was a compulsory course to move to the next level. He said, but I didn't know. He never told me that he had an issue. I had no clue. He said, so as we're waiting for that, he has seen that he had failed this thing, which means that he can't proceed, you know, completely compulsory. He said, but as I began to sing that, he knew God was talking to him. He said he could feel it, that this is God saying something to him. He said, and what happened was that they waived that course for him. Now, that's called a compulsory course. So you don't waive a compulsory course. You waive electives. He said, but they waived the compulsory course for him. And as far as I know, they have not waived it before then, and they have not waived it after then. But God said he will make a way where there seems to be no way. Hallelujah. He says, so when you're drunk in the spirit, he says what? Singing and making melody and speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So you can tell by your speech. Hallelujah. Number three, how do you know your actions? Your actions. In John chapter 5, go to John chapter 5 with me. Are you still here? Hallelujah. Are you getting anything? So all of our desires, all of the miracles, all of the wonders and the things that we desire in our lives, if we stay drunk in the spirit, those things will become easier, because he that works the miracles amongst you does it because he does it in the spirit. Amen. Becomes easier. The biggest miracle of all worked that way. And that's why he said you began in the spirit. The biggest miracle of all is the rebirth or the new birth. If that came that way, then every other thing comes that way. You know, I was also remembering the late Lester Sumrall. And they called him and said he had TV stations, radio stations. He had perhaps the most number of radio stations of any minister in the U.S. I've been a missionary in the Philippines and all that, you know, just following God's instructions. And then he came. And then they called him while he was still in flight and told him the station burnt down, one of the stations. And he went for his meeting. He said, are you not going there straight? He said, no. I'm already on my way to a meeting. I'm going for the meeting. The station burning down is his business. If it's burning, it's burnt. Hey, no problem now. When I finish this, I will see what is there. And then he went there, and he said he arrived, looked at the thing burnt down. And he said, we build again. And walked away. And he said, that's all. You just stop there and say, we build again. And he walks away. He said, what else? He's burnt down already. We build again. And he walks, I'm off to the next appointment. How does anybody sit there and multi-million dollar equipment and building burnt to ashes? And he's not moved. He's not crying. He's not anxious. He just says, we build again. Hallelujah. John chapter 5. So we said what? Mental state, speech, actions. Can I hear you say mental state? So this is how you know whether you are filled with the Spirit, your mental state, your words, your actions. Jesus was speaking because Jesus lived a miraculous lifestyle. Miracles happened. And I'm not just talking about in the temple. They happened everywhere. The woman with the issue of blood was not even planned. It was not a planned encounter. It was actually on the way to Jairus' house. He didn't say, on the way to Jairus' house, let's stop to see the woman with the issue of blood because she needs prayers. He was going somewhere else. And as he went, the woman interrupted and said, ah, that's him. And then pressed through the crowd and touched his garment. And virtue went out of him. And then he stops and says, ah, who touched me? The widow of Nain was not part of the plan. She was going to bury her only son. And then Jesus just saw the casket, saw them on the procession on the way. And then he tells them to stop, touches the casket, come up, and the son rose. Are you with me? No prayer, no whatever, but miraculous actions. The multiplication of the bread was not planned. And I hear you say it wasn't planned. Yeah, you just kept teaching. And if you think that I teach for very long, they were with him for 3 days. Amen? So he taught for 3 days. He taught for 3 days, and clearly or apparently there had been no break. Because they then said, oh, let the people go. And he says, you can't let them go like this. Oh, they will faint on the way. Because that means that for 3 days, it was just automatic fasting. And then even the disciples had forgotten completely and said, no, let the people go. I said, don't let them go like this. They will faint. He said, give them something to eat. And he said, ah, okay, use GPS. Where we are, where will we find what to give these guys in this wilderness? And he said, okay, what do you have? And they said, look, we already did just these 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring it. And then he prays, he blesses it. Can I hear you say he blesses it? He gives thanks. Can I hear you say he blesses it? You know what Peter first said, because he wasn't drunk. He said, all we have is what? Five loaves and 2 fishes. He said, but what are these among so many? He wasn't drunk. Jesus took it, looked at 5,000 men, gave thanks. Are you with me? And what somebody said, what are these among so many? Fed the so many with leftover. Hallelujah. Okay, I need to be rounding up, Abby. John chapter 5. So how does he do it? How does Jesus do that? He says, then Jesus answered, John 5:19, and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does. That is, whatever the Father does, the Son also does in like manner. So he was saying, all of my actions are being influenced by God. Okay? So let me quickly say 2 things, because I should stop. Let me say 2 things. Number one, you get drunk on purpose. Okay? You get drunk on purpose. It's not an accident. Beer bottles don't pop open. You know, the cover just pops. Bah! And then the bottle just pours itself into the guy's mouth, and then he gets drunk. In fact, you know, there were people in the West, that's Europe and co. It's almost traditional that people go to beer palace, what we'll call beer palace, on Fridays. And there are people that drive to work. But on Friday, they don't drive to work. They say, because I'm going to get drunk tonight. They say, so Friday, I don't take my car to work because I'm going to get drunk. You get drunk on purpose. Are you with me? It means you go, you ask for one bottle, two bottles, three bottles. You go. There's a determination, I'm going. In fact, sometimes they go on credit. The man has no money, but he goes. He sweet talks, you know, they will pay next week. When they pay next week, I will pay you. Give it to me. So he's deliberate, he's intentional. Are you with me? You get drunk in the spirit on purpose. There has to be that hunger, that pursuit, that desire for it. You know, he gets drunk, he goes for it, and he persists. One cup, two cups, three cups, 30 cups. He keeps drinking and he gets drunk. In Isaiah 44, verse 3, he said, I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I'll pour my Holy Spirit on him that desires it. So that intention, that desire, that purposefulness is required. You get drunk on purpose. So just as you get drunk on alcohol on purpose, you get drunk in the spirit on purpose. Hallelujah. And number two, you use your mouth. Abi? You use your mouth. You want to leave being drunk in the spirit? You use your mouth. You know, one of the things, if you look at Ephesians chapter 5 again, I've toyed with this many, many times in my head, read it many, many times again and again and again. And I mean, just thinking to myself, what does this mean? You know, because it's not every time, as we're gathered here, you can sense the Holy Ghost. You can sense the presence of God tangibly. You know, as we are gathered here, you can sense that tangibly. But when you are not here, you can get drunk. Hallelujah. And use your mouth. So it says in Ephesians chapter 5, I'll read it again tonight. It says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be being filled. Now I'm reading it. Or be in a constant state of being filled with the Spirit. Now, I'll do a little play on words. If right after that I put how, it will answer is speaking. And I hear it say speaking. Speaking to one another in Psalms. So I get filled by speaking. So not only is it an outcome of my being filled already, it's also a mode to getting drunk in the Spirit. So in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost fell upon them, came upon them like cloven tongues as of fire, and they began to speak with tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. That's 2 verse 4. And then the people that were around said, they must be drunk. How did they get to that state? By speaking. Are you there? Some have said that maybe it wasn't even just words, because they said we hear them in our own languages. So some have said that for them to have even said maybe they are drunk, maybe they were not just speaking alone. Maybe they were laughing and there was nothing funny. Maybe they were dancing. Maybe they were doing many other things and the people were looking and said, these guys must be drunk. And then Peter answered them and he said, these are not drunk as you suppose. How did they get to that state? Acts 2 verse 4. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak. Can I hear you say begin to speak? And they began to speak as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. So you get up in the morning, you begin to speak in other tongues. You get to where you are drunk. Filled with the Holy Ghost. And then by the time you step out for the day, you are floating. In fact, you can do that all through the day, and you find that you float all through the day. Peter was saying that, these are not drunk as you suppose, being just the ninth hour. I've seen some people who are drunk in the morning, 8 a.m. And the guy's already drunk to stupor. You can get drunk anytime you want to with the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? Let's stand on our feet tonight. Begin to speak in other tongues. Begin to sing. Speak. Just flow with Him. Just flow with Him. Just flow with the Holy Ghost tonight. Lege bahasto mam radoste fragile bahandele bokosta bahate. Le bro bobo shakala bahandele brokodoste bradista. Mam brade so pradista brahandele grede se brado so prasto malista brahando so coro bokoste veledi. Le bra ba ba shaka rapa handele bokoro bahaste brehende sto bahate. And forget everybody else. As you do that, something begins to pour and bubble. You get drunk in the spirit. Le gele bahandele brodo so fredista bahande. When last were you drunk? Le bradista brahande. Le broko pola gadista. Mam brado so fredista bahande. Sakala brande se fredista bahata. So filled with the Holy Ghost that it looks like all the worries disappear. So filled with the Holy Ghost that you have what the Bible describes as peace that passes all understanding. So filled with the Holy Ghost that indeed you are seen even into the future as the Spirit reveals. Legalabashta bahande, leglegedesto brahande, levrado sopradista brahande, leglanoste brande, levele costa brahande. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Legele bahande, legledoste brahande, legagagasta brahande. Oh, mare bosto vredista brahande. Le bra ba ba shakara bahande. Le boklo boso klo bosto velide brahande. Le gele bahosta brahande. If there's anyone that needs prayer for healing, just come to the front. If there's anyone that needs that, just come to the front. Minister by the laying on of hands. Legled osto brahande. Everybody else just praying in a spirit still. Legle do sofra dista brahande. Legle de le prekela barakadosa brahande. Sto prohosto veladi. Legele kekekela bashanda la bahasta. Oh, mara baba baba bobo bobo shakarabo. I want more of you. I want more of you. The more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus, more of you. Did somebody get an injury just on your leg, just above your ankle, and especially did anybody with any form of injury? Above your ankle, just above your ankle. And if anyone, anything I call you online, sees it online as well. But if you're here, you have an injury, a little pain just there, then come out here. Thank you. Just bring your hand. Thank you, Lord. Your power goes right through here. Goes right down that leg. Goes right down that leg. Leg at Osta Bahande. Goes right down that leg. Le Brakamaso Provosto Baladista. I speak healing. I speak health. I speak well being. Every bone, every muscle. Le Brakanosta tender. Ishakaka Kalakaga Galadosa. Mamra Asto Brasto Frendesta Bagaladosta Bahande. Jerry, please come.
More of you.
Scriptures instruct, and it says, "Be anxious for nothing." I don't know what you've been thinking about, but it says, "Be anxious for nothing." It's an instruction. You'll have to trust Him to help you plan things. Don't always appear to us as they should. Very often we can't see what lies around the corner, but He does. The beauty of God is that God is like that satellite of the GPS that can see the very end from the beginning, and He can see it. And that's why He's saying, just give me the burden. He's saying, just hand everything over to me, live life in the spirit. And trust me to make the plans. Trust me to make the plans. Trust me to tell you every little detail, steps to take as necessary. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Weight is lifted. And the light shines in darkness. And darkness will not hold it back. Darkness will not hold it back. Darkness will not hold it back. Yeah, let the joy bubble forth. Let the joy bubble forth. Let the joy bubble forth. Let the joy of the Lord bubble forth. Let the joy bubble forth. Let it bubble forth. Let Lebra command it. That's part of life in the spirit. Let it bubble forth. Glory to God. Leged Oshta Brahande Soprakabando Sofredishta Brahande. Leged Oshta Brakabando Sofredishta Brahande. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If there's anybody online believing God for a healing, I command your healing and well-being now by the power of God and in the name of Jesus. Be made every bit whole. 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 I send somebody's neck, stiff neck, just loose it now by the power of God and in the name of Jesus. Leged Oshta Brande Sokro Boshto Veladi. Lesika Bradosto Fredishta Brahande. Leged Oshta Brande Stefaka Brande Sofredishta Brahande. Lebrondo Sofredishta Brahande. Begin to give Him thanks tonight. Begin to thank Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to thank Him. Thank you, Lord. Just as you are now, just ask God and say, Lord, I desire to be full. I desire to be full. I want a drink even tonight. I want a drink tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Feel. Somebody has a dance in their steps. Somebody has a dance in their steps. You just yield to the Holy Ghost. Just yield to the Holy Ghost. Just yield to the Holy Ghost as it comes upon you strong, even now. Just yield, just yield. It's a laughter bubbling forth, let it flow. It's a dance, let it flow. That's how you operate under his influence, the influence of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And burdens are lifted. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Just hold on. 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 Just hold on a moment. Thank you, sweet Spirit of God. Thank you, sweet Spirit of God. Thank you, sweet Spirit of God. Fill us, fill us, fill us like only you can. 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 Thank you. Right from the front to the back. Right from the front to the back. Fill us like only you can. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we're going drunk. We're going home drunk. Drunk in the spirit. They broke among us. Yeah, even body parts can grow back. Yeah, somebody was thinking about that. Yes, they grow back. Yeah, they grow back. They grow back and we'll grow back. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holding me back for one person. Yeah, Holy Spirit. Just for one person. He says one person. Just for one person. He's holding me back just for one person. Yeah, Holy Spirit, touch that person now. He said to Mary, the power of the highest will overshadow you. I ask that your power overshadows that person. Irrespective of how they feel, irrespective of their yieldedness or not, just overshadow, completely overwhelm them, completely overwhelm them, completely overwhelm them, completely overwhelm, completely overwhelmed, completely overwhelmed. It's okay to be carried home tonight. It's okay to be carried home tonight. Because he will overwhelm you, overshadow you, he'll overshadow you. Yeah, completely overwhelmed. Completely overwhelmed. Like Edoshta Brahando, Sokro Boshta Veladishta Brahande. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Collins, I don't know how much of a weight it's been on you, what just happened. But God is lifting that weight. God is lifting that weight. The weight of the loss, the grief, is lifting it off you. Supernaturally. 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 It's lifting it off you. Supernaturally. The grief is broken. It's broken completely. And everything that needs to be done will be done. Yeah, will be done. God will guide and make ways. And everything will fall in place. But you'll have also to be sensitive. Because even within all of this, God wants you as a witness of who He is, of His goodness, of His mercy, of His saving grace, and of His gospel. And you'll have to ask Him to show you those opportunities, even in the midst of it all, to witness for Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you praise tonight. We give you praise tonight. We magnify you. We exalt you. Somebody has a long-term injury. When I say long-term, it's something that's happened to you years ago, maybe even decades ago. And it's there. The aftermath is there, and it's like you settled into it. You've settled with it. You've accepted it. You live with it. God is putting His finger on that tonight. Putting His finger on that tonight. And He's repairing everything, restoring everything, just like we read when we were praying about the leper who came, and He says he was made whole. It wasn't just healed, it was healed. Jesus said, where is everybody that was healed? All the lepers that were healed. How come it's only this one that came back? And He said, your faith has made you whole. So the wholeness was a restoration. Leprosy being cleansed means the leprosy was cleansed. But if he had lost a finger, lost a leg, lost an arm because of leprosy, they were still healed, but the arm was still lost. But when he said, your faith has made you whole, it means that this one was completely restored. So if you are that person with that injury, if you're here, just signify to me, with that injury, it's been there a long time, long time, long time. Just check yourself. Raise his hand, check yourself. Sorry? Do something you couldn't do that you can tell. Huh? How long is long? Huh? 11 years, 7 years. What couldn't you do before? You fell from Elox. Okay, so what couldn't you do? Huh? Were you feeling the pain today? And where's the pain? It's gone. Never again. Never again. Papi, which one? That leg still that well. '96, and the man said, every year you struggle with it. Part of what God is delivering you from tonight is that mental asset. To what the man said. That acceptance of what the man said. It's broken by the power of God. When it comes, you accept it. But it's all gone. It It's all gone. Right knee. So, what's with the right knee now? Feel it now. You can't feel it. Do you feel it all the time? When was it injured? When you were young. Never again. Never again. Begin to give God praise tonight. Father, we thank you. We appreciate you. We exalt you. We glorify you. Mangla Doshtabrahande. Legedoshtabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrahaskabrah